I'd like to call the meeting to order. All please rise. Join in the salute to our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. You may be seated. Deputy Clerk will now take the roll call.
Councilmember Washington.
Present.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Ingram.
Here.
Councilmember Mushler.
Here.
Councilmember Birch.
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Here. Councilperson Hansen emailed the clerk's office in my office about an hour ago that said he was having kind of a reaction to his chemotherapy. He was hoping to make it here, but it appears that he won't. So
Move to excuse.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay, moved by Councilperson Ingram, seconded by Councilperson Birch. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Thank you, Council. We wish Councilperson Hansen well. Okay, this is the public comment period. This is the period where members of the audience can come speak to the council on anything that's not on tonight's agenda. We ask that you give your name and address if possible and limit yourself to 3 minutes. And this is where you can come speak to the council on anything that's not on tonight's agenda, anything that you would want to speak to your heart's desire. Welcome. Anyone? Anyone?
This is my time?
Yeah. And I think with your situation, once you talk, Council, I'm going to give this guest a little bit more than 3 minutes. I'm not so sure she can tell her whole story, so we're not going to do the timer on you. You can do the microphone and your name and address, please.
Janice Shook, 1411 West Staxton, Ferndale, Washington. I'm here because months ago I came home and my water was turned off, and to find that the city had found it leaking. They found it to be leaking when they found that I had a bill for $2,500, and my normal bill is $32. I am very efficient on my water. And it took this long for me to get to the task of solving this, because it was under my daughter's tree, and so I didn't want to have to sacrifice the tree. But when we finally got it up and identified what caused the leak, this is my city water end, and the leak is right there where the pipe split. This is where the meter goes, and it is within your power and your jurisdiction duty to deal with this bill, because it ran down the creek is what it did. It truly flowed. My meter is right at the ditch that goes down to Deer Creek. The salmon appreciate it. I do not have the means for that. I have no reason to have incurred it. This is my pressure reducer to my house. First plumber said it was an over-tightened. This was all put in by the city 30 years ago. It was visited by the city 10 years ago to adjust the pressure because I had a little pressure, and he said, oh yeah, I opened it some more, and it had been sitting that way for 10 years. And then, since I have finally redone this whole line, I am wanting to be able to turn water on too. That would be nice.
And so the city's position is they're not turning on the water until...
Oh, I haven't even gone to them. It isn't even hooked up. Tomorrow it might be hooked on both ends. But I've had so many no-show plumbers that I don't hold my breath.
So you've been out of water to your house for how long?
Too long.
Okay.
Too many people here know me.
So for some of your council, you do have the authority to issue credits. We typically do half the bill on a one-time every 2 years. Give me a sec here.
Okay.
But on this situation, yeah, I guess it's a little different. We have a public works employee from the water department here if we want to ask questions.
No, this seems like a totally different situation. I think we could even handle this administratively. Mm-hmm.
Councilperson Watson?
Just a quick question. I thought we had set the maximum, that we weren't going to have the max this high. Didn't we do something in Public Works that we set a max of like 500 or something, so we wouldn't keep having these thousands of dollars when this happened?
No? It's kind of on a case-by-case, but not an automatic
Okay.
Flat.
Okay.
It took 3 weeks from the time they read the meter. They read it, saw that it was at that point, and then, you know, deliver it before they turned it off. So they had a 3 weeks lead to go down and turn it off. That's the piece that really surprised me.
Ferndale is rather unusual. I think Ferndale is the only municipality, Mike. I think we're the only city for a while that actually provided PRBs to people. Everyone else is a private transaction, am I correct?
I don't really know all the rules that after the meter generally it belongs to the customer. The old days we provided one for them. That hasn't happened for a lot of years.
Okay, typically, council in the Public Works Committee would have to rule, but you're saying if we ask them, we could go to an administrative decision?
Yeah, this seems like that would warrant quick resolution.
Okay, I'm going to kind of be official. I'll question the council and then ask them to vote to give us that authority. It sounds like a situation that's fairly unusual. So I'll start with Councilperson Burrish and then Councilperson Mutchler and then Councilperson Goodrich.
Well, I feel for you. The same thing happened to me when I bought my house a couple of years ago, but it was on the builder's side. There was a leak, and I got my bill. It was almost $800, and the city did pay half. They let me pay the other half generously. So, but anyway, I'm all for covering her entire bill since it's not her fault.
Councilperson Mutchler?
Yeah. Could I suggest or even move by unanimous consent that the staff, the administration, tries to remedy this and report back to the Public Works Committee, the next committee that meets next Wednesday?
Yeah, I think she's looking for, I guess she didn't mention that part, is that, let's be honest, you've been out of water for a long time.
Before Christmas.
She spoke to me this afternoon. Her daughter is coming home from back east, and she has no water to her house, and it's amazing that you've went this long without water.
I live on a creek.
So she's looking for a quicker decision. If we voted to give administratively, we could probably make a decision on the amount and then come back with you in a committee. That would be a little different than our user procedure. Is that kind of where you were going?
Well, I'm assuming, Mr. Mayor, what you're saying is that we can resolve this within the context of our current ordinances that we have on this thing.
Correct.
We do have a public gifting issue if we go outside of that. So I'm assuming that we can do this, but I don't know for sure.
You have that authority.
No, I think we do.
Typically, it's a council vote.
Yeah, then we would then report back to the
just report back to what you do within our proper ordinance. And, I mean, that'd be fine with me. That's okay with everybody else.
Councilperson Goodrich and then Councilperson Olson.
I'll make a motion that we turn this over for staff to handle this administratively and report back to Public Works.
Second.
Okay.
Will that
second
work for
by Councilor Watson, and then we'll go to Councilperson Olson.
I guess I'll abstain from voting then because I don't have enough information. If it's going on for how many months since Christmas, why is it an emergency just now? Why hasn't something been going on with this?
No, it hasn't been leaking that long.
Okay.
She didn't have the money to pay between
now
and then.
I have been without water.
Okay, what, since Christmas?
Yes.
Okay.
And
now is May.
Yeah, well, because they could when they came out to double check the meter because it was such a bad reading, they saw the flood gushing from the meter.
And shut off everything.
And shut it off because they saw the flood coming from the meter there.
When was that?
Christmas.
In Christmas?
Before.
Okay.
End of October.
I think she's managed to go without water. And now she's decided that's getting old.
No, my daughters are not going to come home if I don't.
Okay.
It's a 100-year-old house. Nothing is normal in it.
I understand that, but I'm with John. We have a procedure for it. If this has been going on for at least 5 months, possibly more, I don't know why it's an emergency today. Why hasn't something been done about it before?
Because I've been digging it for 2 months. I've been digging.
Oh, okay. That's the final part. In the process of, not someone I know, in the process she had a plumber look at the rest of her line from
just to identify from the meter to the house,
and then the plumber broke her line more, and now they determined they should replace the whole line, and she's had a ordeal getting enough money for that and a bid, and it's a long story.
Yeah, I spent my entire spring break in April digging on this. I just today got the new line through the last under tree roots to the meter location. Yesterday I got it fully installed. It's taken this long to do it.
Okay, any other comments from council or any further discussion? Councilperson Mutchler?
Thank you for coming to us. I know a little church that had a very similar issue happen with the old pipe about 2 months ago. Water squirting out of the land out of the ground. I just want to explain a really hard thing for us. I bet you every person here would like to just pay the bill, pay the plumber, the whole thing. And if we really, really wanted it, we have certain constraints by the state. We can't give away public funds in any kind of way. But we've dealt with this so many times that we've tried to create, you know, forgiveness clauses in our existing ordinances. So I think what we're asking staff to do is to find a way within our existing ordinance to make this work. Mm-hmm. So we just can't suddenly vote. We want to give you.
May the water line be turned on while you resolve that. That's the other, you know. Yeah. You won't. I mean, we can take a picture of the meter where it sits today and just turn it on.
We're confident staff will help figure something out.
Okay.
Yeah. Councilperson Watson?
But we can do some kind of, we can turn it on and do some kind of payment plan. I think this is a Mark question, too, so.
Yeah, I think we can handle it where we can get her back in water for
we're
her,
not doing for, payment plan.
We'll work it out administratively.
$20,000 a year. I know. Well, we've had this discussion before, and we can't find a way that when the water leaks to not we've cut back on as much as we can, and we've had this discussion many times in Public Works. And legally, we just can't seem
this
to find a way to do
was
it.
Was put in by the city, and it was grandfathered in as a city product. That you changed the law afterwards because you've changed your habit of installation, your procedure, your methods, your protocol.
Let's let the acting public works director address this.
Okay. Thank you.
We'll if we turn the water on, everything else is fixed. That, as far as you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's brand new mine. Our sales and me are pretty close too.
And no, I think let me work with our finance director and talk to the crew, and I think we can get you back on.
Okay, there's a motion before you for vote to make it an administrative decision. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Okay, and with one abstention? Okay, motion carries 5 with one exception. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Keep that piece of pipe. It's good for scrap value. Probably about $5 in scrap value. Okay, so now I'm going to close the regular council meeting.
No.
Oh, we had more public comment.
Oh, man,
I was
going to
roll
this
right over you.
Close.
You're okay?
I'm sorry.
Do we have any more public comment?
Senior moment?
Yes.
Apparently.
It was intentional.
No, I was talking to him.
Oh. Okay, I see nothing else for public comment, so we'll move on from public comment. Right. I'm going to close the regular council meeting at 6:13:46, and we're going to enter into the Transportation Benefit District Board meeting, and before you have a consent agenda. Councilperson Goodrich.
I'll move the consent agenda.
Second. Okay, moved and seconded by Councilperson Bursch. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Okay, at 6:14:13, we'll reopen the regular council meeting. And before you is the regular council consent agenda. Councilperson Goodrich is on it tonight.
Okay. motion to accept the consent agenda as presented.
And seconded by Councilperson Bursch. They got a team going here on this side of the room. They're
that's okay.
Completely
that's
okay. Awake. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Okay, rolling through. Okay, now supposedly we have some guests here. A presentation by the Ferndale High School Natural High Club.
Metal sports.
Oh, really? Okay. We had got high school. Well, you're soon to be high school, so we'll go that.
Once.
Okay, welcome.
Hi, my name is Terry Saunders, and I am the advisor for the Natural High Clubs at both middle schools here in Ferndale. I'd like to thank the City Council for putting us on your agenda this evening. The Natural High Club members will be talking about their concerns regarding having a recreational marijuana store within the city limits of Ferndale, specifically one selling marijuana edibles. It is the club's understanding that the city currently has a moratorium on having a recreational marijuana store in city limits. With the passage of the new marijuana laws legalizing recreational marijuana, we also realize that the city of Ferndale has their concerns. Each council member should have a packet the students put together, and I think as Sam Taylor printed out for you. Students will be reading about their concerns. As each student begins, they'll state what page from the packet they're on. It's like a PowerPoint presentation, but they're going to expand on it a little bit. One of our students didn't show up, so the last girl, Carmita, will be a little bit more lengthier than the rest, but the total time is about 8 to 10 minutes.
Okay, great.
Please go to page 2. My name's Kaylee. I'm in the 8th grade. I'm 14 years old, and I have 3 younger siblings. 2 are 8, and 1 is 12, and I've been in this club for 2 years. Who are we? We are a middle school club. We are leaders of our community and school. Every year, there are about 15 to 18 students that participate in the club, Natural High. Natural High is a group of students who have decided to take a stand against substance use and abuse. Natural High clubs are community and school-based that have adopted the Natural High message and provides opportunities for youth to come together and explore natural highs. Natural High is saying yes to life and making staying clean and sober the thing to do. As a club that cares about drug use in our community, we choose to teach our peers as leaders the harm that can come from drugs and alcohol. We encourage our peers to live healthy and avoid drugs and drinking. We build each other's leadership skills by pushing each other to do our best. We stay naturally high by doing fun activities as a group.
Please go to page 3. My name's Emily. I'm 13 years old. I have 2 younger siblings. I've been the Natural High Club for 1 year. This year we went to local pharmacies, Hagen's, Walgreens, Divided, to give them pamphlets about National Take Back Day. The pamphlets had information about where the community could dispose of their unused medications properly. Club members asked to speak with the manager at each pharmacy. We talked with them about National Take Back Day and gave the pamphlets to the manager to pass out to the customers. Some of the store managers were not aware of where the community could dispose of their medications properly. National Take Back Day is once a year to bring attention into getting rid of your unused medications appropriately. Locally, the community can dispose of their non-narcotic medications at Hagen's. As a drug prevention club, we do not want to see any kids gained unused medication.
We are concerned because the effects of marijuana edibles can be harmful to youth, including our classmates. Edible marijuana is not the same as smoking it. People that smoke marijuana get high quickly. Most people that begin using edibles do not realize that it can take a few hours for the high to kick in. Edible marijuana stays in your system longer and can be very dangerous to children, causing nausea, vomiting, disorientation, and even drug-induced psychosis. There have been cases where a child has accidentally ingested marijuana edibles and been poisoned. Many studies have shown that using marijuana is harmful to children's growing brains.
Please go to page 6. My name is Jessica. I'm 13 years old. I'm in 7th grade. I have 2 younger siblings. One's 2 years old and one's 3 years old. I've been in the club for 1 year. In our research for this presentation, we found out that marijuana is a drug of choice for 8th graders. Half of all the teens have tried marijuana by the time they graduate from high school. 25% of all high school students report that they used marijuana in the past month. In Whatcom County, 18% of 8th graders and 30% of 10th graders think there is little to no risk in regular use of marijuana. There were 224 reported marijuana poisonings in our state in 2012. Half of these were youth under the age of 20, and 44% of these were under the age of 12. These were the cases that were reported. We know many more were not because adults were fearful of the consequences. With the recent changes in the law regarding marijuana in Colorado State, there has been two deaths directly to marijuana edibles.
Please go to slide 7. My name is Parmita. I'm in 7th grade, and this is my second year at the Natural High. Our request and recommendation to the City Council is that you would continue to be educated on the dangers of marijuana edibles
and learn about how it can cause harm. For example, knowing that many younger kids can read and might get into the marijuana edibles without noticing, and how much that affects them. We are asking the City Council to create a stricter definition regarding marijuana edibles than the Control Board currently has. The Liquor Control Board has limited some of the products that recreational retailers wanted to sell. There are still many that are appealing to youth. Some of these marijuana edibles don't have marijuana signs or logos, and many still look harmless with appealing names and packaging. Some children would not know what the products were even if they did have a percentage. As a prevention club, we think it is better to put a stop to this before any kids get hurt. Please go to page 8. While researching our presentation, we looked at the City of Ferndale's website under marijuana regulations. We are confused regarding some of the wording used about something we think is serious. First paragraph start out with, "Yo, dude." Further down, it says, "We are pretty funny, man." Back to this Pink Floyd album, "What's up, man?" The site services the city's stash. The last paragraph states, "This page does not deal with use or possession of marijuana in the city, that in the city's code. And you can grab some kettle corn, put on your Snuggie, and read about that right here. As a student, we think it sends the community, including people our age, mixed messages in a Cheech and Chomp kind of way. We are asking that the city please change the wording on public websites. We would also ask that you consider allowing your recreational marijuana store in Ferndale city limits. If not, then at least ban edible marijuana sales that are attractive to young children. Thank you for listening to us and our concerns.
Thanks, City Council and Mayor Johnson.
No, thank you. Well done. Councilperson Mutchler?
Yeah, I just have two questions. First, could we receive the packet they were referring to? I couldn't find it in my packet or online.
Previous packet. They don't have it either.
Oh, okay. I'll just check the previous week. That's where it was.
Yep. Oh, yeah, because remember it was we had it and then it was canceled.
Okay, thank
you. My second question is it might be to Director Burnett or maybe to our attorney. And I'm not advocating this position. I'm just asking a point of question. Can the city discriminate between edibles and smokables? I mean, can we actually do that? I'm not advocating a position, but that was what was being requested. Is that even a possibility within the law of 502?
Councilmember Mutchler, I do not have a good answer to that. I will talk with our attorney tomorrow.
I'd like to know. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
You want to bring that back information to the next committee meeting? Should be able to get an answer by then.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Good question. Any more questions or statements, Councilperson Goodrich?
I was curious about the website stuff that you said at the end and where that really came.
Yeah, I wrote that down too.
And was it really our website that had that?
It was supposed to have been changed a long time ago.
It was. Yes.
Huh? Okay.
It was supposed to be changed quite a few months ago, but maybe we missed it somehow. Because it got mentioned before, and so I don't know.
Let's put that second on your list for our community development director. That is some odd language on there.
I'm talking to our assistant city administrator right now about it.
Okay, good. Thank you. Okay.
If you can have it, I don't know what notes I have on the back of it.
Okay, we'll just pass it around, and we'll end up back at you.
No test scores or anything.
Okay, anything else on this subject, or can we move on? Okay, next up on the agenda is the public meeting on the Skyview Ridge plat amendment. Welcome, Haley.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. So this is a plat amendment application and resolution for an amendment to the preliminary plat called Skyview Ridge that was approved back in 2007 for 24 single-family residence lots. And it's located down just south of Douglas Road and just east of Church, down in the 2400 block of Ferndale. And when the applicant came forward last year with this project to revive it, we required that they submit a revised wetland delineation report because wetlands are dynamic and change over time. And the consultant found that the hydric soils and hydrology indicators were no longer present in that area due to the development that happened in the north. So the applicant is now proposing to add 3 lots into that wetland area. So nothing else is changing from the original approval back in 2007. So staff took the conditions from 2007 and added new conditions related to those three lots specifically, and processed this amendment application the same as if we would process a preliminary plat application. So the neighbors were notified, and a SEPA comment period commenced, and we went to the hearing examiner on April 2nd, and we had some neighbors show up, and nobody seemed to be concerned about it. They knew it was coming and just had a few clarification questions. So the hearing examiner has recommended approval, and this is the final step in the process. This is a closed public meeting, and council is to consider the record that's established by the hearing examiner, and the applicant is present, and I'm here to help answer questions if you guys have any.
Any questions on this issue? Councilperson Ingram?
Where exactly was that again? You confused me a little bit with your description of the location of this.
It's on the southeast corner of the Church Road, South Church Road and Douglas intersection. If you're going down Douglas Road, right when you hit church, it's right south of Douglas Road.
I got it.
There was another Councilperson Bursch?
I make a motion that we approve this resolution.
I'll second it.
Okay, this side of the room is dominating the evening.
So, motion
by Councilperson Bursch, second by Councilperson Goodrich. Giving everyone else a chance to speak. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Unopposed? Okay, motion carries 6-0.
All right, that way I could vote.
Okay, now we get into some more discussion. Our acting public works director will talk about the contract on the Main and LaBounty and Walgreen preliminary roundabout design.
Yeah, this is kind of a two-part issue insofar as during committees, many of you were there, we talked about and we had representatives from Department of Transportation and also our consultants talking about the corridor and how eventually we'll put in a series of roundabouts which should work certainly better than any other traffic control system that there's currently out there. The issue is, of course, we need to start, and the first one will be in front of Walgreens. What we're requesting is approval for the 90% design contract for the roundabout in front of Walgreens, which has already been
LaBounty
has already been modeled, and the state has agreed that the modeling would work with eventual improvements to the overpass. Additionally, I'd like to get your approval of starting the preliminary design work for the Walgreens roundabout. The preliminary work would start with Bob Herman for Herman Traffic Engineering, our consultant, and then actually after he comes up with an acceptable preliminary design, we would then move more over to the Reichart and EV realm, where we actually would start determining right-of-way needs and designing it and coming up with more of the fine layer. So asking for 90% for LaBounty and starting the preliminary work for Walgreens.
Councilperson Olson?
Well, did you and Bo have your meeting yet with?
No, we have not met with Bellingham yet. But that's, he's scheduling that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna vote yes on this, but contingent upon we get the signals in alignment. But I'm gonna trust that they'll take care of that.
Okay, I have Councilperson Watson, Goodrich, and then Mutchler. So, Councilperson Watson?
That was the same question, because Public Works had forwarded it saying that we would also do signalization. So you'll just come back to us with that later?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, what we're really trying to do is determine what the state of the art is as far as how Bellingham manages our traffic control, what's out there if we wanted to take it over ourselves, and what it would take to further link up. Right now, we talked about this in committee, too. We don't have fiber, but we do have some sort of other, I think it's a line of sight telemetry that would allow us to have the signals talk to each other.
Okay.
And that's the deal, getting them to talk to each other, because as everyone's aware, the traffic patterns are different in the morning when you leave than they are when you come home. Mm-hmm. So it has to be dynamic enough to be able to identify those differences and modulate the signal timing.
Okay.
Not to add to your overloaded schedule as doing both jobs, but would you be able to commit to the council and make them feel better by next committee meeting?
Yeah, Bo isn't here, but I know he's been trying to set up the meeting. I don't remember. We'll come back and tell you what we have left. I believe we'll be able to meet with Bellingham by then, though.
Okay. Always better to have a deadline. Okay, Councilperson Goodrich is next.
I've talked to several people throughout this week and things about our traffic, the idea of a roundabout, and they've all come back to me and said, why are you doing that without fixing the signals? So I am not going to support this. I would support this if we had a firm plan for our signals and we really knew. I'm not saying we were just going to throw come to Bellingham and say, hey, Bellingham, this kind of, what do you think we could do or whatever. I mean a real study that says at First Street we need to do this, at Second Street we need to do this, how we would tie in with WashDOT, because at the committee meeting they said WashDOT is not going to relinquish control of the on-ramps and things, so how can we work with them if, you know, and had an actual formal plan that says, okay, this is what it's going to take. Do we need to buy new traffic lights? You know, do we have to put in a fiber? How much is the fiber going to cost if that's what we have to do? And, you know, and then come back and say, like we do with other projects. Other projects come to the council and say, you know, here's the engineer's estimate, $5 million. And then we go off of that, you know, type of thing. We don't have that with the traffic lights. We had a dollar amount that Janice threw out of $300,000. I kind of got the impression at committee meeting that that, you know, wasn't a valid number. So, you know, to me, until we know really how much it costs, I don't want to go down the road of the roundabouts because I know, I'm sorry, Greg, but I know you're Mr. Pro Roundabout, and I see the signals getting pushed off again, and we'll end up with a roundabout at La Bounty, and we still won't know what it would take to really fix our signals and do that. So, I can't support it without the other.
We'll wait to go through all the council and have a response from Public Works. So Councilperson Mutchler, Bursch, and then Olson.
Yeah, I had dropped in that committee meeting kind of late. I liked this before. I liked the entire plan, the whole process. I think it's really good for the city, really good for the city, and it's assisting developers, save them time, saves them money. Eventually, it amounts to significant revenue to the city. But I especially liked it. I don't know who came up with the adding the Walgreens. That was...
You're welcome.
I mean, that's... I mean, we needed to do that, too. And 30%, I don't know, 30, 35. I mean, it just seems like the right thing to do. So I am fully in support of this and would like to put the item on the table by making a motion that we adopt Agenda Bill 155003.
Second to further discussion?
Second.
Okay, second by Councilperson Watson. Next up is Councilperson Bursch.
I listened to the audio and was wondering, you kept referring to five streets intersection at that corner. I only count four. Where's the fifth?
Yeah, the right now, if you look at the intersection at La Bounty, the leg that would go over to Dairy Queen, it will actually, it's two legs. One leg will, and you can kind of see how it's been roughed out. One leg, which isn't built yet, would go straight into what is now the golf course property and serve that eventual development. The other leg is the existing Riverside Drive that bends around and goes over to our new Motel 6. So you have the regular La Bounty going in both directions. I mean, Main Street going in both directions. And you have La Bounty coming up, and then across the street is where that new road would be, where Taco Time is interested in locating. And then the fifth leg is that is the Riverside Drive that goes over to the Motel 6.
And where's the funding coming from eventually?
That's a very good point. We currently have the monies to design this, and I think I've told you all, it'll probably take 9 months or 10 months to even just design this. Once it's designed, we will build it if and when a large retailer decides to come to Ferndale. That's what is going to be eventually necessitating all of these improvements. We're all aware of all the empty lots behind Pagans next to across from Costco. There's quite a few empty parcels in that area. And we understand that there's some interest from large retailers. Should they land in the city, not only will they be paying a substantial traffic mitigation fee, but they'll be also generating a substantial amount of sales tax annually. So it's a combination of that traffic mitigation fee from a large retailer and the cash flow, and this is the important part, from a large retailer that will allow us to incur whatever debt we need that would then pay it back out of those brand new revenues. So the design, in my estimation at least, needs to be started now, but we wouldn't start building it unless and until something like that happened, which would necessitate the improvement.
Until we get a contract from a retailer.
The whole idea of the whole corridor roundabout is based on the build-out of the corridor. And right now, while we've seen small incremental build-out, we haven't seen any large scale, but even though we have a considerable amount of developable land. It will happen someday. As I've mentioned before, you know, we're on Interstate 5, one of the last freeway interchanges that does not have developable land. So it's just a question of time. Just want to be ready for that. So tonight you're just committing to the design of this thing, not to the actual construction.
Well, my biggest concern is the bottleneck created at the railroad tracks and over the bridge. That is huge.
Yeah. A lot of the modeling that our consultants have done, let's assume that a large retailer lands somewhere around on the Bounty, in and around the area where Hagen's is. A lot of that traffic flow will be coming off the freeway and then going over that quadrant, that area, and then back to the freeway. That's why the Bounty roundabout is so essential, because that's what gets people taking those lefts. Today, if you were to take a left to go over to Hagen's right there, that's the hardest movement in any signalized situation, because you can only dedicate so many left-hand turns while everyone else is literally stopped. So the idea is that the roundabout there would be necessitated because that's where the cars are going to be. The idea of downtown, and we talked about this a little bit at committee, yeah, that is an issue, because not unlike in a microcosm, but not unlike Bellingham, that can't tear down buildings and make their streets any wider, it would be very difficult for us to tear down buildings on Main Street and widen Main Street. We have a bottleneck with there. There probably will be for the foreseeable future. The good thing is that many of the people that would be coming to town because of a large retailer, their intention is not to come downtown. That's why, in conjunction with this, if we can eventually, and we are working on it now, work on the Thornton connector to Second Avenue, that might give the people who now come through downtown to get to their home or get to work an alternative way of getting from the hill to the freeway. So all these things are going to eventually work together. But, yeah, we have a bottleneck at the railroad crossing and our Pioneer Bridge, and there's also a bottleneck at the overpass. But that's something that eventually will have to be widened with the assistance of the Department of Transportation. So this is the start. It's not the finish. But hopefully we'll have these revenue streams come in so we can start knocking these off one at a time and kind of stay as much as we can ahead of the curve, so we don't find ourselves in a situation where all of a sudden the traffic is literally gridlocked all day long and we don't have a plan. So we've been trying real hard to plan for many years, and this is kind of the first phase of that plan.
Councilperson Olson and then Councilperson Ingram.
My, that was long.
I tried to be short.
That was frightening.
That was the condensed version.
Yeah.
I kind of share Brent's concerns, but I realize this is design only. And we as the body will say when it's going to be built and when it's going to be built. And then we have the power to say, no, it's not going to be built until the signals are all in alignment. So that's why I'm going to support it, is because we can still push the signals before anything ever, a shovel gets in the ground. Something else that occurred to me, this fifth leg, is whoever develops that, are they going to have, we're going to have a fifth leg that's going to have a latecomers agreement with it?
Because going to the proposed Taco Time?
Yes.
Not necessarily.
No, they pay.
They pay the
present traffic impact fees. Remember, that area is our highest traffic impact fees.
Yeah, and in the case of Taco Time, they've actually already dedicated some of their land for the roundabout. The advantage is that we have that model, mm-hmm. So we were able to lay it on a map and show them how they need to design their Taco Time. And for that, we actually needed some of the land, which they.
But they're only a portion of it, correct? It's going to be also accessing in the back.
Correct.
So what are they going to
say when it's a soccer field, a multi soccer field? The lawyer for that firm said, ooh, that's going to be a big traffic impact. It's like, yeah, soccer fields bring in a lot of traffic. Yeah, you're very true. That's the way it is. Right.
So we've got that covered. Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
If they build, they have to pay. Councilperson Ingram.
Well, something that we have not addressed in this whole discussion for the last several meetings. We can do all the synchronization of the lights that we wish to. We can build all the roundabouts that we wish to. But we seem to be famous or infamous, take your pick, in the city of Ferndale for ignoring the advice of people we pay tens of thousands of dollars to advise us. And about 5 years ago, we paid Transpo a small dump truck full of money to say, how do we improve Main Street? One of the very top things on their list, we've totally ignored. And until we stop ignoring that, nothing we do is going to make a damn bit of difference. We have got to close the left turn lane off Main Street onto Nielsen, onto Hovander. We have to close the left turn lane from Hovander onto Main Street. The trucks come up there. They take up all the lanes and then some, and they sit there, and they sit there, and they sit there, waiting for a break in traffic large enough for them to turn a semi left on the Hovander Road. We can't do that anymore. We've got to take Transpo's advice and close those two left turn lanes, or we're just going to... Nothing else is going to make a difference if we don't do that. So I would like to see us, if we're going to do modeling, if we're going to do all this stuff, put that in the model, because otherwise we're just wasting money.
Tough intersection. Councilperson Mutchler and then Councilperson Goodrich.
Yeah, and those are all great points, both Councilmember Ingram and Councilmember Birch. On Hovander, of course, the remedy, it appears to me, is that no one will need to make a left turn, because there'll be a roundabout there to swing you around.
Not Hovander.
Not a Hovander.
When you eventually put the roundabout in at Walgreens, that roundabout will be used.
It's nowhere near Hovander.
I can see that. You turn a right on the Main Street, use the roundabout to go through, and then come back.
I guess it could be argued very easily, and it goes with Councilperson Goodrich's problem with it, is that actually, if you talk to Transpo, they'll tell you that the roundabout at Main La Bounty is kind of a first in the process and the key. I understand. I mean, you could solve the traffic now by eliminating all left-hand turns up and down the Main Street corridor, and then you tell the pedestrians they can't cross, and the green light goes through the peak hour time, but what are you going to do about the left at Walgreens? Now, if you put a roundabout, here's a prime example, because we all know, we've all lived here. Everyone here knows this, is that when we put in the light at Walgreens, it was amazing that changed the traffic flow. Everybody leaving the Hagen's development went to the Walgreens light, because that was easier than fighting what's at La Bounty now. Put in a roundabout at La Bounty in Maine, people are going to adjust. Their drivers aren't completely stupid all the time. Oh, I'll go this way because it's faster, because then we'll probably extend the light and say, oh, go here. You're going to wait a long time for a left. So we can't fix it all, but I think the public works director is trying to say it's all of a piece of a puzzle, and I wish we had millions and millions of dollars, but it's not easy to fix. Right now, that intersection, you're exactly correct. The La Bounty Main intersection fails at certain times. Is a roundabout going to make it better? Yes. Is it the perfect solution because everything else in there? No, but we can analyze things, but sometimes you get that thing, analysis brings on paralysis, and doing nothing is not your objective. So
I want to apologize, Council. I misspoke the street names. The street name I meant was Hovander coming down. That left turn does not need to exist with roundabouts. You take a right turn. I do that now. I take a right turn and swing around the Carnation Building. But I wanted to address Councilmember Versch's concern about the bottleneck there at the bridge. It seems to me that 80% of Ferndale lives in the northwest area there. And whenever we need anything, we need a gallon of milk, we need socks, we have to go over that bridge. We either stop in Ferndale or we continue to Bellingham. I don't see how that changes if you land Gary's Giant Plumbing Supply, whatever you land there in Ferndale, the same folks will be crossing the bridge. There's no change to the traffic there. The improvement at the bridge there occurs when you get your Thornton connection done, because the appeal is for people to get off at exit 263. The additional traffic will be coming from other areas east of the city and south of the city, north of the city, to that regional retail destination. They're not going to be, well, actually sort of hope they might come downtown, but there's not really initially a reason for them to do that. So I think those are valid concerns, but they're separate issues that need to be dealt with, I think, in a separate way.
Councilor Goodrich?
One of my little pet peeves that's come up on this is talking about the railroad being the choke point. If the railroad wasn't there, the bridge at the Nooksack would be the choke point. If the bridge wasn't there, Main Street itself would be a choke point, because you only have one lane going through town. So someplace headed east out of Main, out of downtown, you got to take the two into one. You could do that at Walgreens. You could do that, you know, wherever. Someplace you have to take the two into one. So to blame it on the railroad bridge or to blame it on the bridge over the river, to me, is not a valid, you know, thing, because someplace you got to take the two into one. The one thing I want to state, too, is I think our crew, I don't want it to go out that I'm attacking our crew and that they're not doing a good job with the signals. Because, I given what they got, I think they're doing a good job. What I would like to see is the day come when we don't have to rely on calling up Bellingham and having Bellingham's tech come out here to meet with us, and that our people can take care of our own signals. And that's part of my thing about let's get a plan in, an actual plan in place to upgrade our – we did that with the pump stations. They went through and they – you know, so, okay, this is what it's going to take to fix each pump station, to bring in the telemetering, and we got a list. Why can't we get that same thing for our traffic lights? So we know exactly what needs to be done, where, and things, so we can stop relying on Bellingham and we can do our own thing and do that. My fear is that we go ahead with this design and Wally Winco Mark or whatever ends up coming in, and then they say, oh, no, it's here. We got to build this roundabout. And, you know, and then the council at that time says, well, no, okay, I know we talked about signals before, but we got to do this now because, you know, the retail's here. We got to fix it. We got to get this LeBounty roundabout in. And the signals get, put off again, and we don't even look at them or design anything or come up with anything. That is my concern, that the dollars are going to drive this, not necessarily the council, and say, we got to do this now because they're here. And, to me, now is the time. Let's hold off here another month if we have to and do this. Find out what it really would take to fix our signals. Come back with that, and then let's look at this as a total package and see what we can do and what our future is. Not, say, well, we might do this later on, because the mites haven't happened in the 6 years that I've been here. We've talked about signals for 6 years, and nothing's been done.
Well, thank you for defending Public Works, because they probably do get more frustrated than you do, because they drive the roads, too. Any further discussion by council? I know this is a big issue, so I was going to go to the audience and see if any audience wants to speak on this agenda item. So, anyone in the audience like to speak on this subject? Have any comments? I know to some people roundabouts are very popular and everybody loves driving them. Anyone like to speak? Other than Luis, we don't want him to speak. No?
For Luis.
Would you like to come forward, sir? You are welcome to come forward.
Wayne Larson, 309-6 Road. Well, I was in Europe for a couple of years. And they use roundabouts extensively. In Rome, there's big roundabouts and there's small roundabouts. But they must, the Romans must have had something, because they've been there for 1,000 years. So I think you need to take a pretty comprehensive look at whatever you do. And I think there's some solved right here behind this building. You can solve some of that Main Street problem. But Main Street, you know, you have these festivals and things in Main Street, and it accentuates the problem. Main Street is plugged. You've got to do something on Main Street. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else from the audience? Anyone else like to speak? Okay. Moving on, you have a motion and a second before you to approve preliminary design on two projects. So all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries with Councilors Goodrich and Birch opposed. So moving forward. And then by committee, we had a commitment by committee to have an answer on synchronization to solve all of those problems in that committee meeting.
You have until the 13th to solve all those problems. No, no pressure.
Okay, no pressure.
I gotta go.
Okay, yeah, and I quit right now. Okay, next one up is the agreement on the Whatcom County Jail interlocal agreement. I'm sure this will be a robust discussion.
We're gonna draw straws to see who has to talk to us.
Actually, I passed on a little information. I wanted to kind of reference it. Some of you may remember back early when the county was planning for the jail and had decided that Ferndale was a preferable location, we asked the county to have Burke and Associates do a fiscal impact analysis to see what impact a county jail would have on Ferndale's finances. And the county did that, and I was very thankful that they did. There's a few pages here. The first two pages that on the sheet I handed out is the most recent numbers for both the jail and the sheriff's office. The reason why there's two sheets is that the jail is going to be built out of theoretically the sales tax that the voters will be looking at here in November, but the jail is going to be built out of separate county funds. So they for them it's two projects because they don't want to commingle those. Anyway, if you realize, we are not only going to be getting some ongoing revenues, but there's some substantial one-time revenues that the city has received and will receive. We received the real estate excise tax when they bought the land, but the big thing is the sales tax that's generated on the actual construction. It's a one-time revenue. So on the first sheet, that's for the jail, you can see they break it up between hard costs and soft costs. The hard costs are actually the bricks, the mortar, the stuff that sales taxes is paid on. The soft costs are just a lot of the other fees and the consultants that you don't pay sales tax on. So for the jail, about almost $71 million, that's on the little green highlight on the first page. And on the second page, you can see the sheriff's office is a little bit above $14 million. Also on these first two pages, I wanted to show you what permit revenues are going to be generated. For the jail, the city is going to be getting, this includes traffic mitigation fees of $350,000, but the city will be receiving a little over $700,000 in plan fees, plan check fees, traffic mitigation. The bulk of it is traffic mitigation for the jail, and about a little more than $100,000 for the sheriff's office. But on the third page, which ironically has a page number one I've circled on the bottom, this is a three pages from the Burke analysis where they, back when they did this, we're do some estimations of costs. In the blue ink, I've updated them. Given the hard costs for the jail and the sheriff's offices, it totals hard costs of about $85 million. Based on that, on the page, next page, it has a little two circled at the bottom, the sales tax will be $723,000. So when they build the jail, we're going to be getting about $700,000 in sales tax on top of the approximately $700,000 in traffic mitigation fees and other permit fees. So those are those one-time costs. And should the voters approve this, we need to have some serious discussions as to how we spend this money, because it is one-time money and, you know, it's one and gone. The last page here with the three on it is our ongoing revenues. These are annual revenues to the city directly as a result of having the jail in the city. Again, Burke pulled out most notably our utility taxes. Since they've done that study, we've actually raised our water, sewer, utility taxes. So I've updated those numbers. So you can see that on an annual ongoing basis, the general fund, because that's where the utility taxes go, is going to be getting close to $62,000. Separately, we have our TBD, which didn't exist when the Burke study was done. The TBD is going to get a little north of $4,000 a year. Not a huge amount, but hey, $4,000 is still $4,000. So I know we hadn't talked about the fiscal impact to the city in a while, so I realizing that this study was out there and there were probably some better construction numbers and we have updated some of our tax rates as well as formed the TBD, I wanted to just give you this for what it's worth. But this is separate from, naturally, the interlocal agreement for the jail itself.
And before we go to council questions, in committee, they had the one big question in terms of the addendum, and did we
want to review? My question is on this.
Okay. I want him to finish his presentation.
Right. In committee, we talked about, and this goes back to, I think, the discussion that's going on countywide, and that is, do we build jails with bars, or do we build alternate treatment, mental health, job training? Do we do some of these to reduce the term is recidivism, the propensity for someone to offend, get out of jail, reoffend, and go back to jail? How many times you just kind of go in and out the revolving door? And I know the county is having some discussions about the mix of jail versus alternatives to jail. And that's, I guess, a discussion for them to have. But at committees, the issue was brought up. Right now, the interlocal agreement talks about a 521-bed jail, which can be expanded, and it has a medical ward, and it has these other things like inside of there. So the general concern in committees was, well, what if that countywide discussion about jail cells versus alternative treatment programs, what if that discussion leads to the county not building a 521-bed jail, but I'll make up a number, 121-bed jail and a huge medical psychiatric job training? And the concern at the committee, my understanding, many of you were there, was the county's asking us to approve building this. And what happens if they don't build this, but indeed build that? Can the city back out of the agreement? Well, I called the county and I left a couple voicemail messages and actually also sent an email. I've not heard back, but not that I'm in any way or shape or form a trained lawyer, but I do tend to read a lot of documents. And right now, the way this is written, we would have to probably stop paying and be taken to court in order for us to argue that the interlocal agreement would be void if they indeed built something drastically different than what's in here. There's nothing in the agreement right now that says we're going to build this, and if we don't build it, all bets are off. So I would say that right now, the way the agreement is written, we would be obligated to, and if you're aware, the new sales tax, if it's approved by the voters, 60% of that new sales tax goes to the county, 40% come to all the cities, but the 60% the county keeps is not sufficient to service the debt. So this interlocal talks about that 40% that we get, turning around and giving the majority of it back to the county so they would have enough to service the debt. This contract would obligate us to do that. And so,
no matter what they build.
Yes, in the agreement, there's no out. We might be able to get out, but it would take legal action.
Okay, so that's the answer. Okay, so Councilperson Goodrich had questions on the revenue side.
Excuse me? Oh, yes.
Yeah, on your page 2 where you talk about the $723,000 in sales tax, how much of that does Ferndale get?
$723,000.
Well, yeah. We don't get the full $8,000.
This is just the construction of the jail. So, like when someone builds a house in town, the contractors pay sales tax on the lumber and the plumbing equipment and things like that.
Well, so I thought,
and that's
you
destination
pay sales tax.
That's destination sales tax.
Destination sales here. Tax. So since if they were building this in Blaine would be getting that money, or if they built it in Bellingham would be getting the money. So this is separate from any of the new sales tax. This is sales tax just on the one-time construction, building $85 million worth of buildings, that given what we get for sales tax, which is a little under 1%, 0.85.
The other question I have is based off what you just said about the agreement. What happens if the voters don't approve the the thing? Is there an out in this agreement?
Yes, it is explicit in the agreement. If the voters do not approve the 2% extra sales tax. The interlocal agreements for us, as well as all of the other cities, are it's automatically void because the county would literally have no way to build it, no way to pay the bonds. So that would require a complete.
I would think that would be a thing that if the county went for the sales tax, say we're going to build this jail, and then they turn around and want to build something entirely different. I would think that would be kind of misrepresentation to the voters on the sales tax initiative.
The agreement is clear as to what they are proposing to build. And, in fact, our community development director reminded me that they have a conditional use permit for a jail. They don't have a conditional use permit for something drastically different. So it would really need to start all back over.
Yeah, good point. Okay.
Yeah. So they wouldn't have a permit.
Councilperson Watson and then Councilperson Metzler.
I was just curious. The legislature was talking about eliminating sales tax for cities. So, you know, if they pass that, that means the county wouldn't have to pay us the $723?
Yeah, I know that a lot of this has come up perennially almost in Olympia. And one of the areas where it usually is focused is on school construction. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's for the kids. It seems to be kind of a heartstring kind of thing. And so I'm aware of the discussions, but I'm not aware of any serious legislation out there. And I've not seen anything that would extend it past schools to actually to county construction or city construction. But it is conceivable. It is conceivable that should the legislature change the sales tax arrangement for municipal construction projects, that revenue would go away.
I had one question about the conditional use then. So the conditional use permit they have is for a 521 bed, or is it just for a certain size in a certain place?
It is for a very precise building, 521 beds, with a second phase with 120-some-odd beds in a certain configuration. It's an essential public facility, which requires a conditional use, and I was looking at essential public facilities, substance treatment, and other mental health are also included as essential public facilities.
Okay.
Councilperson Mutchler and Councilperson Olson.
Thank you, Administrator Young. So it's here somewhere, I just don't see right in front of me. The city of Ferndale could insist upon 40% of that sales tax increase, and the county 60.
Yep.
We're going to end up with how much now? What was the new number?
The numbers, they
change. Yes.
And the reason why they change.
But the destination number is?
Initially, in the first 3 years, I know it's complicated, but bear with me. Part of the financing plan that the county has is that they have a lot of upfront costs to try to build this thing.
So we get less of the
Anyone who's ever built a house knows that you better have more in your checking account than what it's going to cost to build a house, because there's going to be unanticipated costs. So for the first 3 years, we turn around, that 40% that we get, we turn around and give them 90% of it back. So we would only be able to keep about $75,000 a year in the first 3 years. Then we go to giving back about 75% rather than 90%. The county has made, this is a 30-year bond, and 30 years is a long time to dust off the crystal ball to try to figure out what's going to happen. So the county has made some assumptions on the growth of retail sales in the county for the next 30 years based on what it has grown in the prior 10, 20 years. And they've been very conservative. They haven't matched it completely. So in time, in 30 years, when all of us are mere memories, we will be getting about $400,000 a year.
So I'm going to, these are the numbers that I'm looking at here. On the positive side of this event is that right away we increase our general revs by $75,000 in the sales tax, plus the $62,000 in the taxes on utilities and supplies brought to your jail. So 75 plus 62 plus extra TBE of $5,000.
Yep.
And something you didn't mention, and this is what Councilmember Goodrich was asking about, we're going to get over probably 2 years $723,000 one time in sales tax, but additionally, I figure $170,000 in TBD money, because there's also a TBD.
In fact, I did not add in the TBD.
So
you're right.
That's a big bump.
Yeah.
Even the just comparing apples to oranges here, the the $63,000 in just utilities and supplies every year, it's like three bumps in our property tax.
Yeah.
You know, that's,
now we are anticipating not to further. We are anticipating an increase in what was termed the per diem rate. That is, every time we put a prisoner in the jail, they charge us by the night. There's a there's a daily or a nightly fee, no matter how we want to characterize it. Right now, it's $70-$75, and it's anticipated to go around $100, maybe a little bit more than that when the jail opens. And that's just based on the experiences of prior.
We spent about $300 a year.
We spent about $300,000
so
a year.
So we're up to $400 pretty quick.
Right. So it won't. My point is
that can't spend it.
That $75,000, at least the $75,000 in the first 3 years, we're just going to turn around and probably pay it back and increase jail costs. But at least we have a source for it.
Yeah, got it.
Councilperson Olson.
Thank you. I might have misheard you. I thought I heard you say the tax pays the sheriff's office, when actually it's the other way around.
Well, the county is going to use the new bond proceeds to build the jail. They're not going to use any of the new bond proceeds to build the sheriff's office.
Yeah, I just wanted to clear that.
Yeah.
I thought the no tax thing that they were talking about was reducing or eliminating sales taxes on the highway projects.
Yeah, they've talked about highway projects, and they've also talked about
schools. But
so far
nothing has passed?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Yori, the conditional use change that would possibly, if we decide to make a Hilton for part jail and part Hilton for mental, that would probably be granted, wouldn't it?
I would think that...
after we pay some fees or something.
Yeah, we could certainly raise the issue, and the hearing examiner might require that we resolve any differences with the county, but
my point being, that's not a guarantee. Just because they have to redo their thing,
correct?
They're probably going to get it anyway. I'm just appalled that you have tried and tried and tried. After Jack came in here and took up all of our time with this big long process, and doesn't even have the courtesy to return your call and answer our question.
Well, I did get a hold of, not Jack, but Tyler, his one of his assistants, and it was Tyler that very quickly gave me the information as far as the cost.
But I don't care about that right now. I want somebody to tell me what's going to happen if we don't get what we voted for. And as of tonight, we can't. Because they won't call back and they won't answer. So I'm not going to vote. I'm not going to vote for this. I'm a big fan of jails. I made a living with them. But this, we don't know what we're going to get until the county council decides what they're going to do. And if we can't assure ourselves that, yes, we voted, all of us voted yes for this, and this is what we're going to get, then I'm not going to vote for it. I would send it back to committee and wait for them to make a decision one way or the other, and see what we're going to get if they're not going to give us this assurance that we're going to put a clause in here. This is what we're voting for. If you change it by one bit, done. So I'll let everybody else talk till I, and if I see we have a consensus, I might move to send it right back to committee and wait for the county council to make a decision once and for all.
Councilperson Birch?
I know that all the seven cities in the Whatcom County are all signing interlocal agreements, but I don't see the city of Linden in my packet. Have they fallen off?
They've already signed.
They approved it. Well, actually, they meet on the same nights as we do, so they approved it 2 weeks ago. Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
I think everyone has but us.
Yes.
Bellingham.
Bellingham and us. That's it.
Mm-hmm. And this isn't effective unless all seven sign.
You are correct.
I mean, if we all sign it, Bellingham does it, it doesn't mean a thing.
Well, no, it's a Greg, we're at the meeting. Mm-hmm. The executive said because of the numbers, if Ferndale, Linden, or Blaine dropped out, the project would be dead. If Bellingham dropped out, for sure it's dead. If Everson or Nooksack did not join, they could probably still build it. So I guess that's not entirely true. They said if one of the very smaller cities did not sign
What's the score at the present time in terms of the cities? And then finally, what is...
We're down to Ferndale and Bellingham.
Yeah. And they are still planning November.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. they, well...
Correct. November.
He's got some good questions. When do they have to have this before they start?
Well, this is interesting. This is maybe... I was trying to think of a good analogy of chicken and egg, cart and horse and cart, whatever. The dilemma that the county is facing is, unless the vast majority of the cities agreed to this financing arrangement where the sales tax is rebated, they can't service the bonds, so they can't build it. So the dilemma is, ideally the county, I assume that the county administration wants to stand in front of the county council and say, all of the cities have signed, we have our debt service cash flow secured, now county council, you just need to authorize the vote. We've studied this. This is what needs to be built. Let's do it. So I can understand why the county administration would want to line up all the cities first, because I could easily see a county council member going, how do we even know that the cities are going to agree to this? So let's wait for them to agree to it before we agree to put it on the back. It's almost a...
But isn't what Councilmember Olson is saying is that, okay, now we're all agreed to this, and then the Whatcom County Council, which is a rather unpredictable group sometimes, decides to do something that's just not what we all had in mind here. Are we on the hook?
Yeah, there's
vis-a-vis the mental health.
Chances are, yes. Again, I'm not giving you legal advice, but actually on page 142 of your packet.
Because they've created, I'm sorry, they've created the uncertainty here, it seems to me, the discussions of county council.
Right.
Yes.
Which makes us a little bit jittery, because we're giving up to a potential. This is sales tax money that we could get in the future.
Yes.
That we can't get in the future.
Exactly.
We are giving up a lot here.
Yeah, in the agreement under Part 1, which is jail financing, the very last sentence, and I'll read it, it says, the cities agree that payments required under this agreement will be made as set forth herein and are not subject to any claims or disputes relating to jail operations or any other terms of this agreement. Now, that doesn't mean you can't. There's just saying that we're agreeing.
You're
that,
signing it.
Right. But
so that means you agree to it.
Yeah.
How can you sit there and tell us, and I respect you accepting this, how can you tell us that we're signing, we agree, so we're going to go tell the judge that we were really confused.
I'm telling you that according to this, we're agreeing.
Right.
But given an entirely different set of circumstances, that is the Hilton concept that you came up with, it could be argued, and that's what lawyers do, that it was such a material change to the... Not saying it would be persuasive, but I'm saying what's in here says that we're going to pay them the money. So the answer to your question is, yes, we sign this, we're obligating ourselves.
Councilperson Watson, then Councilperson Olson.
I don't want to have to sue them if they change the agreement. I just don't understand why we can't have one little clause that says, should you change so much as a comma, we want to revisit it. And this is a 30-year agreement. And I'm not going to co-sign for a 30-year mortgage not knowing what they might do, because I don't know what county council is going to do right now. I really don't. And so now, I mean, they have introduced all this confusion. They really have, not knowing what they're going to do.
I would imagine that if we went Councilperson Olson's direction and put it back to committee, we would probably get a response. But I'm going to go to Councilperson Olson
next
for this comment.
Well, I'm counting votes, and I think we're probably there rather than beat this up. But... The county council is asking us, we want to buy a Cadillac, but you guys are going to pay for it, but then all of a sudden we buy, and I won't say what kind of car, maybe somebody in here drives
one. An MREV.
An MREV.
Lamborghini.
Yeah. And we end up with something way down the line, then that's not right. And all we're not saying we don't support the jail.
No.
I think we could have six votes in here supporting it
if
we knew we were getting that. We'd all vote in favor tonight. So it's not really the chicken or the egg thing. It's tell us what we're buying. And if the county council can't do that, then fine.
You could make a
then
motion
we'll
to do so.
So with that, I will make a motion. We send it back to the committee and wait for the county council to tell us what we're going to buy.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. So further discussion, I have Councilperson Ingram and Councilperson Mutzler.
Well, I will simply say that the voters, the last time they were asked to sign a blank check, yeah, that went down in flames big time. And I can see this, if the county council does not come out with an absolute ironclad document, this is going to go the same way. Because people, this person included, do not like that. Trust us, we're going to build something really nice here, and it's going to be really great, and you're paying for it. Sign this blank check, and we'll give you a nice kiss goodnight. No. I want to know just exactly what that thing's going to be. I tend to agree with Councilmember Watson that, you know, there should be some clause in there that tells them, you change the design, you change anything in that agreement, and we come back to the table. So,
Councilperson Lechler.
I'd like to offer an amendment to Councilmember Olson's motion. I think this is what he's saying anyway. I'd like a statement from this council to the county council to clarify what their vision is for this facility. I feel like it's clear from the executive branch of council of the county. I think it's very clear from Sheriff Elfo and the executive what they want to do. To me, it's not clear from the county council what they want to do. So I'd like to amend the motion with a request for clarification what this county council wishes to do in terms of jail design.
I doubt if you could have that by next committee meeting.
I want them to know what this is. They're holding us up. We're not holding us up, but the county council is holding us up.
Well, I think if we send it back to committee, we'll get a response pretty quick.
I think you'll return your call.
Administration, I don't think you'll get a response from county council. But before we discuss that, is there a second to his amendment?
I'll second it. I agree with what John's saying. That's who my beef is with,
yeah.
Is the county council, not the sheriff's office, and not the agreement. But just tell us what you're going to build.
Would administration like to comment on the amendment?
How would we do that?
Yeah, it's I guess trying to figure out how that would eventually play out. I was also trying to think what the county administration would
tell
say.
Tell us what you're going to build, then we'll vote on it. That's
because
simple.
In the recitals, the number C recital says they intend to build approximately 521 phase one, dot, dot, and all this is now called the new jail. So throughout this document, whenever they talk about the new jail on the recital page, they've said 521 in first phase, 128 in phase two, along with demolition of the old jail and construction.
But could they change that? And we're still locked. I think that's what Councilmember Watson is saying. Okay, now it's going to be 600 beds. It's going to have the cushy wing. No disrespect, but it's changed it. This is what we're voting for or not?
Yes. Yeah, I guess I would say that everything I know right now, this is what you're voting on. Can the county change their mind? Yes. What effect it would have, I don't know.
Okay, so I have an amendment before you. I think everyone understands it. So we're going to vote on the amendment first. So the amendment is that it basically the county council gives us an assurance of what they're building.
Thank you.
Okay. So all in favor signify by saying, you want?
Doesn't the initial motion really kind of cover that same thing?
No, it says by
putting in the clause that if the county council changes it, then we can come back and revisit it.
No,
otherwise
the original motion is it just goes to committee to get clarification, but it doesn't say clarification from who.
Right. But I think he kind of said that.
My concern would be the same, you know, is the county council even in a position to make the statement now?
No.
Or are they several months down the road, and so we're not going to be several months down the road if this, versus having the clause saying, here's what we agreed to based off of what's in this document today, and if they change it 2 months from now, then we can revisit it. You know, see what I'm saying? You know, I think the clause is...
I think once the, if and when, probably more of a when the county council commits to placing the ballot issue on the ballot, they will have to define the project at that point. But they have a little bit of time because for the November ballot, I think you have until probably July or something to make August. The decision.
You have until August.
August, even later, yeah, August.
So we have some time.
Yeah.
This vote would take it back to committee. We have some time to hear something.
Yeah.
Councilperson Watson?
I'm not going to support the amendment only because I don't want to get involved with what county council is doing at this point. What I really want is just for them to put something in here. I agree with the concept that we're willing to share some of the sales tax in order to build the jail because we need a new jail. My only concern is I don't want them to change it. So I support putting the clause in, but the amendment, I think, it just, for me, it confuses. I'm not sure how we can get it. I think if we have to wait for county council to make up its mind, it'll be way too many months, and it really is a chicken and egg. They need to know if we are going to agree to the concept of sharing our sales tax or not. So I'm not going to support the amendment.
Okay, any further discussion on the amendment? Okay, all in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
No. So that's 3-3? No.
3-3.
So you can vote because it doesn't cost money.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
That's true. I'm gonna vote as opposed to the amendment. I think we should move forward.
Okay.
So on the original amendment that we're just taking it back to committee to wait for an answer from administration, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Okay.
Okay.
Could I ask, please, you all said it at once. Who were the no's on the amendment?
Oh, not me.
Oh. It's like, that doesn't add up.
good reading. Andrew Watson.
Just messing with your heads.
Tie broken by the mayor. Okay. Wow. Okay, moving on. Mayor reports. I have none. Council reports. Councilperson Watson.
May 6th, this Wednesday, is a technology in the Ferndale Schools, the library from 4 to 6. You get to see all the technology the kids are using and meet the Girls Robotics Club.
Did you? No.
Somebody
I was just waving goodbye.
Okay, Councilperson Mutzler.
More housekeeping. I will be gone next week, and council members... and also will be covering my committees, and I will also miss the next full meeting. I will be celebrating 30 years in Hawaii with my wife. So,
you're going to miss this enlightening conversation about the jail?
Yep, you're awesome. You gotta do it
without me. I really think you should call in from Hawaii.
You're going to have to do without me also.
Oh, which is the council or committee?
Yeah. Committee
and council.
It's a sad state of affairs.
Yeah, but if we don't have Mel,
we'll go home.
We might be approaching that. Yeah, we just need four.
It'll be a
quorum. Wow, okay.
Oh, Mel's going to be fine. Okay, any other council reports?
No.
Okay, department reports. Public Works Administrator?
I'm doing okay.
Okay.
It's a great day for Ferndale.
Community Director?
Nothing.
Clerk's Office? Police? Okay, now, this is going to be a quick one, but I want to steal a little bit of your time. We will be now entering into an executive session pursuant to RCW 42.30.110.
Why is that not on the agenda?
Because I just put it on. Subsection
it's good
G.
To be the king.
We estimate the meeting will last approximately 30 minutes.